Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we do indeed stand in awe of your grace, of your mercy, of your faithfulness. Lord, there's so much that we can stand in awe and be thankful for. And Lord, just like a beautiful Sunday where we are gathered together to lift our hearts and our voices to you, we pray that the worship would be honorable in your sight. And now, Lord, as we continue our worship in your word, we pray that you would bless us indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Have a seat. It's time for the kids to go to Kids Connection if they're not already there. Okay. Maybe some of the adults would like to go. I don't know. Okay. All right. For those of you that are probably new to Village Green, you probably heard a couple of announcements about life groups. And life groups are a really big deal here at Village Green. In fact, the vast majority of our church is in a life group. And life groups here are sermon-based, okay? So if you don't like what I said on a Sunday morning, you get to correct it sometime during the week, on a Tuesday or a Thursday. And presently, groups are like Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have online groups and in-person groups. So if you want to choose and be a part of that, if you want to grow in your faith, this is a great opportunity to be part of a community and grow together, okay? And the other thing too, if you can't be part of a group, can I just encourage you when September 17th comes to take the material and use it as your own private Bible study? All right, this is a great opportunity, again, to use the material in a devotional way to help you grow in your faith. Okay, so I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. Wonderful. We are doing the final installment of our series, Prepare for Impact, Bold Faith in a Culture of Conflict. And I want to start this morning by asking you a very simple question. Have you ever been in a holding pattern? Have you ever been in a holding pattern? Now, here's the illustration for those of you that fly, get on an airplane. Have you ever been in a holding pattern in an airplane? Right? You're supposed to land, and for some reason, the airport says, no, you can't land yet. You got to just keep circling, right? And keep circling, and keep circling. And oh, there's a CN Tower. Oh. 10 minutes later, oh, there's the CN Tower. Oh, 10 minutes, you know, and that's what a holding pattern is. And a holding pattern, you can have a holding pattern in life. How many of us in our lives are in a holding pattern? Now, holding patterns can make life feel like, you know, you can say how life is out of control, but with a holding pattern, you can say that life, I have no control whatsoever in a holding pattern. I can't do anything about it. In fact, a holding pattern, there's two things that define a holding pattern in life, is that you feel like you're getting nowhere and you're going nowhere. Those are the two things that define a holding pattern. Now, if you're a believer here this morning, holding patterns are especially difficult. Because we serve a God that is the God of the impossible. We serve a God that can make all things new. We serve a God who can fix things for us, can move mountains, and we're praying to God, and somehow we just continue to be in this holding pattern of life. How many of us are in a holding pattern and we can think of a relationship right away? And we've prayed for that person. We've sat down and talked with that person. We've tried to, you know, work through this relationship. But no matter what, for some reason, God has allowed this to stay in a holding pattern. Or maybe you have a health concern. There's something about your health. and you've prayed to God and you asked for healing, and for some reason you're in a holding pattern when it comes to your health. How many of us have tried to, you know, have certain doors open for us, and we've tried really hard to open these doors, and we prayed about it, asked God to do, you know, only what he can do with these particular doors, and no matter how hard we knock on those doors, we're stuck, and we're in this holding pattern. And for many of us, especially believers here this morning, we can feel like God's abandoned us, because we feel like we're getting nowhere, and we're going nowhere. And we even have pictures of biblical characters, really, of, you know, amazing men and women of God who are in holding pattern. Moses, 40 years in tending sheep, and God had him in a holding pattern before this moment where he is confronted by this burning bush. Children of Israel wandered for how long? 40 years in this holding pattern, thinking, you know, someday it's going to be the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Someday, 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 when's it going to come? Jacob, you know, holding pattern where he worked for Laban, his uncle, and for how long? And, you know, on and on and on that we can mention. So many people, even biblically, in a holding pattern. And if you're anything like me, I think when we end up in a holding pattern, there are four things that happen. Four things that, you know, when we're feeling like we're getting nowhere and we're going nowhere, that this is what happens. Number one is that our patience is challenged. I don't know if you... patience is one of those virtues that few of us have really well. Can I just say that? Now, anytime we're in a holding pattern, we get impatient because we want to fix it. We want it now. We don't want to wait for it. We don't want to, you know, like let it work itself out. You know, we want to take charge of the situation. So our patience usually runs thin. The second thing is our anxiety spikes. Okay, it's just me then. Okay? Number three, our questions multiply. How many of us in a holding pattern are constantly, part of our prayer is, why God? Why me? Why now? Why am I being punished? Couldn't this happen to so-and-so and not me? Okay? Those questions are just multiply when we're in a holding pattern because we don't like being stuck where we are in life. And number four is our doubts increase. We keep hearing, you know, God is good. Everything God does is good. And yet, when we look and we reflect on the situation that we find ourselves in life right now, we go, really? Really? And not only that, you get this misconception of life. Everybody else seems to be doing okay except for you. Yeah. Okay? So our doubts increase. And suddenly, because you feel everybody else is doing okay and you're kind of being singled out, right? Your doubts increase even more. So with all those kind of life challenges that happen to us when we're in a holding pattern, that, you know, what does the Bible say? Now, there's a constant refrain in the Bible that continually comes up. And it doesn't matter what your stage of life is. It doesn't matter the holding pattern that you're in, or, you know, however you want to describe what it is that you're, you know, stuck in. But the Bible continuously uses this refrain, this terminology in the issues of life. And I just want to read a few of these passages and sort of get us into the refrain and talk about how the Bible asks us to work through those moments in life when we're in a holding pattern, okay? Here's some of the passages. Psalm 37, 4-6. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. By the way, look at the beginning of that passage, that verse, and the end of that verse. Many of us take the end part of that verse, that the Lord will give you your heart's desire, but it's qualified how? Take delight in the Lord, okay? That's a really important component right here. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Notice that I highlighted trust him. Okay, here's Isaiah 26, 3-4. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you, trust in the Lord always, and the Lord your God is the eternal rock. Here's Isaiah 40, 31. Many of us know this passage in Isaiah really well. Okay, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. See, when we're in a holding pattern, life and the options in life become very limited. Because as I said earlier on, most of us, when we're in a holding pattern, we feel like we have no control whatsoever. And yet the Bible continually encourages us to trust in the Lord. That if options seem non-existent, the only option and the best option we will always have is to trust in God. We either believe that we are masters of our fate, or there's a hand that's moving in our lives that is in control of all things and is sovereign over all things. See, each of these passages tell us that when we trust in God, he will help us. The Isaiah 26 passage talked about that he would give us peace. And I think Paul brings that out in Philippians, that he will give us peace beyond human understanding. That when nothing makes sense, I think Paul's expanding on this particular passage in Isaiah, that when nothing makes sense and we commit, you know, what we have to the Lord, that he will give us peace beyond understanding. And it'll guard our hearts and our minds. Everything that we feel emotionally, everything that we feel intellectually or know intellectually. That both of those areas of our lives that cause a lot of anxiety is how we think, how we feel. That God will give peace in both of those areas of our lives. A peace that passes all understanding. The Isaiah 40 passage talks about this enduring hope that exists when we trust in God. And somehow we get renewed strength from the very circumstances that we begrudge that we are in. But when we're in a holding pattern, sometimes we try to be like God and fix it ourselves. And when we try to do that, we limit God's work in our lives. We limit what God is doing in our lives. I think one of the points I want to make this morning is that trusting God does not mean everything suddenly becomes perfect, but it does mean that the door of hope is always open. I have said many, many times from this platform, I think the only people that can deservedly use terminology of hope are only Christians. Everyone else, it's just a wish, or it's just a lottery term. But when it comes to true hope, only biblical Christianity offers true, eternal everlasting hope.
You may agree or disagree, but I don't think anyone else can use the word hope to the full extent that a Christian can use it.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. And that's what these passages talk about, that we are never, ever without hope.
It may seem endless and hopeless in a earthly sense, but is never hopeless for God in an eternal sense, ever, ever. In fact, when we trust God, we're saying, I trust his character. I trust his promises. And you know, when we talk about hope, hope is more rooted in the promises and the character of God than anything. God, I trust you that a day is coming where your word is going to be complete in me, because Philippians 1:6 says, you know, I am confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. That God is not ever, 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 ever done with you. And yet a holding pattern, we can feel that God's walked away. I trust his promises, I trust his word, and especially I trust his son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the only thing left for us to do is to trust God. You see, I think trust is what ignites hope. I think it's the vehicle by which leads us to the hope that we can have in Jesus. So can I get practical for just a few more minutes, all right? Let me just get practical. What can we do when we're in a holding pattern? Because I don't want you to feel absolutely like this is just a spiritual exercise. I think there are biblical things that God wants us to do. Here are some things that I think when you're in a holding pattern, what you need to do. Number one is don't quit. Keep moving. Don't just, you know, say that it's all done, it's over with, I can't live my life anymore, that God's done with me, any of that stuff. God's never done with you. You're only done when God says you're done. You're only done when God says you're done. Okay? So what's immediately in front of you? Okay? Look at Moses. He herded sheep in the wilderness. And in fact, if you look at the story really carefully, the fact of the matter that he was out in the wilderness for 40 years actually helped him when God finally said in his life, okay, now it's time. You're out of this holding pattern. Now I need you to lead my people out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And guess what? The holding pattern you're in, I'm going to use that because you're going to need it for the time you're going to be in the wilderness. Okay? Do not, in this stage of life, don't make rash decisions or give in to rash behaviors. David, for instance, was tempted to kill Saul, but he didn't. If you know the Old Testament story, he checked himself and prioritized Saul's anointing that was on Saul. Okay? Number two, continue to do good. This is really practical because many of us just want to, I'm done. Okay? What the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:1, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Galatians 6:9-10, I love this passage. This is really powerful. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Okay? And then he says, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Some of you this morning have given up. Please don't do that. You might be in a holding pattern. You can probably come to me and say, I've been in this pattern for 10 years. I've been in this pattern. Like, you have no idea. The Bible continually says, trust God. Don't give up. Therefore, Paul goes on to say, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those of the family of faith. Good work is so important. Don't lash out or hurt
people because you feel hurt yourself. You may be just the person, just the situation, just the environment that God is using to bless somebody else who's in that same holding pattern. See yourself as a vessel for God's glory, not as a victim of life's circumstances. Number three is lean into community. Okay? This is where the church, I think, has something over the rest of the world, other than the gospel itself. Lean into community. We hear all the time about the benefits of a church community. Less stress, better health, longer marriage, like all kinds of things that are continually being a part of it. And if any of you have seen the happiness study from Harvard, I think 40-year, 50-year study, anybody read that, by the way? You know what the number one thing for making people happy? Relationships. Valid, healthy relationships is the key to happiness. Okay? Number four, this is obvious, lean on God. Lean into God. Now, that's why many of us love the Psalms, because David reflects an honest dialogue between what he is struggling with and God. And he gives us the language of repentance, the language of struggling, the language of life pleasing God in the midst of the difficulties of life. It's beautiful. But don't detach from God. I don't know how else to just stress this other than to say, you know, when I see so many people walk away from God when things get difficult. And as a pastor, that's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. Because the time that we should be leaning more into God is the times when life is kicking us in the teeth. Or when we're in a holding pattern and we may not understand everything about life. The time to lean into God is then, not to run from God. I could do a whole thing on Jonah right now, but you know, we'll leave that. But here's the last point I want to make, and just so I can get moving on here, okay? God uses holding patterns to prepare us for what is next, even when we feel we're getting and going nowhere. We are being molded for a story God wants to tell through us. Sometimes we feel more a victim of our circumstances than being a vehicle for God's glory. And sometimes our holding patterns are just those opportunities for God to make a difference in someone else's life. Because we are experiencing something that they're experiencing as well. Now, I follow a particular Bible teacher on Instagram called Ozzy Dave. And he does a Hebrew kind of devotional every day. So I don't know if you like that kind of stuff, but I've been following him for some time, and it really is interesting. But recently he did, what does it mean to trust God? I'm going to use this illustration. And he has gone to Israel a number of times. And he actually took a picture of one of the meadows where David would have taken his sheep. And he's talking about Psalm 23. Now, the picture that you have of Psalm 23 when you talk about the meadows is you're thinking the sheep are in this grassy, you know, valley, and the grass is like this tall, and the sheep are kind of like, you know, I'm trying to act like a sheep here, so just, you know. They're just wallowing in this tall grass and everything like that. But when he showed the picture of it, it's like all this barren ground, and every so often there's these tufts of grass that are just sticking up, right? It doesn't look like anything like you would ever imagine.
Okay? And he says, the sheep have to rely on the shepherd to know where the next tuft of grass is in this barren kind of wilderness and leads them to places because, you know, because the grass isn't like knee high and it's not like there's so much grass, they don't even care about the shepherd anymore. And it's this beautiful picture of the reality of what David was trying to depict when he said, trust God. Because just like the sheep, they needed the shepherd to see where the real food was, to see where the blessing was, to see where being dependent on God made much sense. And I thought it was just a beautiful picture of what it means to trust God with everything. Because when we, even in a holding pattern, trust God, God is able to make things glorious even when we think they are nothing but ash. And I pray today that if you're in a holding pattern, can I just encourage you to trust God, to continue to trust God, that he will do something in your life that you can never imagine possible if you just continue to trust in him. Amen? Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team up to close us with a song. And then from there, we're going to shut down our live stream. And I want to thank those of you online that were part of this morning. God bless you, and we'll catch you next week. Thank you. Yeah, sorry. Can I just pray as they're coming up here? I forgot to do that. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the blessing of being together as a community. Lord, I want to pray for those here that feel they're in a holding pattern. Those moments in life where they feel like they're getting nowhere and going nowhere. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them today, that you would encourage them today, that you would remind them of your deep care and love for them, that we may not understand fully why we are in the circumstances we find ourselves. But Lord, you continue to encourage us to trust you. And I pray today that there is someone here this morning who has decided to trust you in the midst of the circumstances and allow you to direct their lives. So Lord, we commit this lesson and this series to you. And we pray it's been a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.